Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton.
At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
I like the top five, baby.
Pressure set. Put down from behind. He never saw him coming. Kyle Williams. Never saw him coming.
The John Murphy Show. Presented by NOCO.
And now I'm a little more comfortable talking to you because I can tell you really know football. You know?
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Safety! 2 points on the board for the Buffalo Bills.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football. Right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO. Tonight we get more thoughts on the combine from the experts, ESPN's Chris Mortensen, NFL Network's Mike Mayock, and our very own Joe Biscaglia, who is on the sidelines of the combine. That and your phone calls tonight on The John Murphy Show.
This place is pandemonium!
Touchdown! CJ Spiller, a 10-yard touchdown run, and what a run it was!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is The John Murphy Show on the official voice of the Buffalo Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hello, welcome. Welcome back. Welcome to us, back to Orchard Park, New York. Welcome to a two-hour edition of The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Good evening to you. Great to be on the air. Great to be in our home studio, back on home field for a change. We haven't done a show from here in 10 days, believe it or not. Seems like forever. I mean, a full two-hour show. We've had some podcasts and stuff last week. And, of course, last week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, the show came from the NFL Scouting Combine. But back in our studio for live radio from now until 9 o'clock tonight. And very happy to be here. Very happy to be home after the NFL Scouting Combine. Loved it out there. Loved the work. Loved the people. Learned a lot. I am overloaded with information that I'm dying to share with you, but it's always good to be home. I mean, enough is enough. On the way home last night, I said to my counterparts here from the Buffalo Bills digital media department, enough. We can't talk about the combine anymore. And there's the story behind coming home is that we had an 8-hour car ride to come home. Our plane home last night, 7 o'clock, canceled for mechanical reasons. So we hopped in a car, rented a car in Indy at 8, and arrived here in Buffalo at 4 a.m. Long night. We couldn't talk about the combine all 8 hours, but we can talk about the combine for a couple of hours tonight, and that's why we are here. Like to get your thoughts on what you may have seen or heard or read about. Maybe you read it on BuffaloBills.com regarding the NFL Scouting Combine. We're just back. We were there Wednesday through yesterday. If you'd like to join us, the phone lines are open. 803-0550, the number toll free, 1-888-550-2550. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. So ring us in if you have thoughts on what you may have seen or heard or read about the combine. Hopefully you saw it or heard it or read it at BuffaloBills.com. But wherever, your thoughts, your questions, the lines are open at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You heard the lineup. Just before we left last night, we had a chance to talk with Chris Mortensen, the senior NFL analyst for ESPN. We'll hear that interview coming up this hour. In the 8 o'clock hour, Joe Biscaglia, who also was at the Scouting Combine, and we'll talk with him about his impressions. I always like to bounce combine impressions off Joe B, who's been going to the combine for several years. That's coming up at 8 o'clock tonight. And there, also, late yesterday, late in the afternoon, Mike Mayock, the draft analyst, the color man on the NFL Network's NFL broadcast, Mike Mayock steps to the podium in the media room at the Combine in Indy and gives, I think, a virtuoso performance just answering questions for about a half hour about all sorts of prospects. And the way it works is they have a podium there in the media room, one of the suites, one of the luxury suites at Lucas Oil Stadium, all set up for interviews. And right before the media leaves, and yesterday was the final media day, really, at the Combine, they make Mike Mayock available, who just gets peppered with questions about any number of the prospects there. I thought it was an amazing performance, and he had some pretty good insight. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we don't have Mike Mayock live on the show, but we do have some of the comments from Mike Mayock about what he saw over the first few days of the Combine, and we'll hear those comments coming up at 8:20 tonight. So that's the lineup for the show, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We are live at One Bills Drive for the first time in a long time, first time in 10 days after our stint at the NFL Scouting Combine. I come away with this way I put it down on paper anyway, the five most impressive performances at the Combine last week, going into yesterday. And I have a list of five, and I'll rank them in order of what was most impressive. But the five most impressive combine performances for me, Let me give them to you real quick, and you can comment on these, react to these. Number one, Geno Smith, West Virginia quarterback, did not work out, did not show up at the Senior Bowl last month. So other than watching some West Virginia football, this was the first time I really had an opportunity to watch Geno Smith, and I came away impressed. First of all, he looks the part. I mean, he really does. He is a big, strong, stand-up guy who really looks the part of a modern-day NFL quarterback. When he got into the workout room and did the bench press and was weighed and measured, he certainly fit the bill there, too, standing at 6'2 and 3/8", 218 pounds, long arms, among the longest arms of any of the quarterbacks at the combine. I believe Mike Glennon, the 6'7 giant, was the only guy with longer arms. He had the best 40 time, Geno Smith did, 4.59 in the 40-yard dash, the best 40 time among the quarterbacks working there. So he tested out well. And then on the field, we got a chance to watch the quarterback-receiver workouts yesterday. On the field, I thought Geno Smith was solid. Made a lot of good throws, made most of the throws that you want to see a quarterback make. Deep throws, short drops, and accurate throws. A couple of times on the short throws, I thought Geno Smith sort of overcooked the throw a little bit and didn't have a whole lot of touch on it, but he corrected it quickly during the workout yesterday. A big, strong, live arm on the West Virginia quarterback. The short throws again, maybe a little bit too much, but on the deep throws, he was just sensational. I thought Geno Smith was one of the real stars of the combine over the last week, based on the way he measured, the way he tested out, and the way he looked on the field yesterday. We'll get some more thoughts from Geno Smith as the night moves along. Manti Te'o, number two on my list of most impressive combine performances, and this is from his press conference. Not necessarily, in fact, not at all, from what he did on the field. The linebackers were on the field out there today. I don't, you know, normally the press conference, I'm not talking about drafting this guy. I'm not talking about, putting the future of your franchise on the shoulders of Manti Te'o, the Notre Dame linebacker. But when it came to handling the situation that he was presented with on Saturday, meeting virtually every one of the 800 media members for the first time, really forced to address in a press conference format what exactly went on the revelation from mid-January about his non-real girlfriend, his fictional girlfriend, I thought he handled it spectacularly, Manti Te'o. Answered all the questions in a sincere fashion, didn't dodge questions, admitted the mistakes that he made. I thought he showed genuine remorse for what went down and how it was played out. And mostly the thing that really got me was when Manti Te'o talked about him as a victim, and he didn't play it up, but it, clearly this guy, for I don't know what went on with Manti Te'o and the imaginary girlfriend, and I'm not quite sure if I understand, you know, the nuts and bolts of how that all worked for him and the internet hoax. But I do know this, Manti Te'o was victimized by the current 21st century American media conglomerate that just steamrolled him. Once that became public in mid-January. I mean, for about a 10-day, two-week period, he was on everybody's lips. He was a subject of ridicule and you know, saturation coverage and stalking from media members. His family subjected to that. He talked about that, I thought, in a very moving and poignant way on Saturday. And it occurred to me, what did Manti Te'o do, really, to deserve that sort of treatment? You know, made a mistake, got, mixed up with some people who took advantage of his naivete and maybe took advantage of his trusting nature, lied about it as it went along, didn't correct the lie when he had a chance to do that. All right, he probably made those mistakes. But really, to the extent that he was covered and dissected and taunted and ridiculed for about a two-week period in mid-January, I think it was really overdone. And I really was impressed by the way Manti Te'o handled that in the press conference on Saturday. Not so much what he's done on the field, and it's been talked about already. His 40 time today, 4.82, not all that impressive. I think they were, and Mike Mayock, who I trust on these things, said he was hoping to see him run somewhere around 4.75, so he didn't get to that point. His reps, he didn't lift today, so we have nothing to judge there. But Manti Te'o at the press conference, for my mind, the number two most impressive combine performance. Number three, another linebacker, Kevin Minter, linebacker from LSU. Like this guy a lot. I wish he was about 3 inches taller. He measured in at 5'11 and 3/4 inches, 246 pounds. But he fits the bill. He fits the mold of a classic inside linebacker in the NFL, a 4.81 in the 40-yard dash. Again, not spectacular, but beyond the measurables, I just think there's a lot to like about Kevin Minter, the level at which he's played at LSU, the production that he's demonstrated at LSU. LSU over the years. We talked to him a lot yesterday about his relationship with current Bills inside linebacker Kelvin Shepard. The two are very close. His mentor played behind him in LSU. I think that's a guy to watch and a guy who may be very highly placed on the Buffalo Bills draft board. Okay, moving on. That was number three. Number four, the five most impressive combine performances that I saw over the last 4 or 5 days in Indy. Number four, Tavon Austin, wide receiver from West Virginia. Didn't know a lot about him. Was not at the Senior Bowl last month, but he was sensational. Ran extremely well in the 40-yard dash. Tavon Austin with an official time on the 40-yard dash of 4.34, just behind the guy who was the leader when it came to the 40-yard dash. I thought Tavon Austin, and that was Goodwin of Texas, right? Yeah, Marquise Goodwin of Texas ran 4.27. But Tavon Austin, West Virginia, again, a guy I wish was 3 or 4 inches taller. He's only 5'8 and a half, 174 pounds. But, man, what a burst. What a burst of speed. We went out and watched Chris Brown and I went out and watched the wide receiver quarterback workouts yesterday morning. And Tavon Austin, I thought, was a standout. Caught the ball and accelerated up the field. A great put-together body. It seems like he would be very durable despite his shorter stature. In fact, Chris Brown referred to him to me when we were sitting there watching the workout, referred to him as a rich man's Roscoe Parrish. He really is, with tremendous speed. I don't know that he's the type of receiver the Bills are looking for. I think not. I think they're looking for a taller guy who can also stretch the field. But Tavon Austin, I thought, put on such a good performance yesterday that he bears watching. Maybe not for the Bills, but somebody's going to get a good receiver. Cordarrelle Patterson is a name that's been linked to the Buffalo Bills as the 8th overall pick, potentially, the wide receiver from Tennessee. Just a shade under 6'2", 6'1" 1 7/8 inches, 216 pounds. Ran a 4.42, which is good. You know, he didn't look all that good in the workout yesterday that we saw. Just didn't look real smooth, real fluid. He has just the 1 year, obviously, of experience at Tennessee coming out of Hutchinson Junior College. I know he is highly regarded by a lot of teams, including the Bills, but I wish he would have looked better at the combine workout that we saw yesterday. You don't want to draw too many conclusions from that, but I wish he would have looked better. His teammate from Tennessee, Justin Hunter, I thought did look better, and he's a little taller, 6'3" and 5'8" tall, 196 pounds, a 4.44 in the 40-yard dash. Justin Hunter, I thought, and he looks like the track star that he is. I just thought he looked fluid and smooth. But the number four, going back to my original list, the number four of the five most impressive combine performances I saw goes to Tavon Austin, the wide receiver from West Virginia. And finally, the fifth most impressive combine performance I saw, totally off the field, I mentioned it to Chopin the Bulldog, Bill Polian. The Bill Polian on ESPN, I thought he was sensational on ESPN, and the way he just kept after it, working hard over and over and doing live hits just over and over again, I thought Bill Polian was one of the most impressive performances I saw at the Combine this week. If you've been watching on the NFL Network, if you've been following along on BuffaloBills.com, we'd like to hear from you. The number is open. The lines are open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show, and we are going to hear from Chris Mortensen, interview we conducted late yesterday. Joe Biscaglia will join us at 8 and a combine wrap-up, some thoughts from a press conference with Mike Mayock yesterday. I had a tweet from Z Behringer who said, ask Mike Mayock about E.J. Manuel. Too late. He did the press conference yesterday, and we didn't get a chance to ask him that question. You know, I'll talk more about quarterbacks as the night goes along. All right, let's get you through some of the news of the day. I've already talked about the combine news. Manti Te'o did not have a great day today. You know, 4.7 or better in the 40-yard dash was the benchmark that many observers put on him, and he ran a 4.82. Te'o's speed is going to be just considered average. And, you know, think about where he's coming off. He's coming off that kind of less than stellar performance in the BCS championship game, too. So Manti Te'o, I don't know if he's helping his draft stock, at least at the combine this week. News came out last night, actually, on our way out of Indianapolis, that the defensive tackle from Utah, Star Lotulelei, has been diagnosed with a heart condition and is not going to be able to work out at all. Lotulelei said he feels fine. He has no idea if the issue is new or was pre-existing. That's what he told Kimberly Jones of the NFL Network. He was scheduled to fly to Utah today for a second opinion. Lotulelei free to continue exercising and working out, But he is not going to take part in any of the combine workouts. Lotulelei, in many people's minds, was the number one prospect on the draft board going into this year. And that certainly is a major setback for him, not being able to compete, not being able to do anything at all at the combine this past weekend. We had a chance to talk with Chris Mortensen, and we're going to hear that interview in a moment. But Mortensen, we do want to hear this. Mortensen made a big point of telling us that this combine, this weekend, is really just one step of the entire offseason-long player evaluation process.
First of all, this is not the be-all, end-all for these draft prospects, but you're also looking together, put together a picture of the combination of free agency, your own free agents, other people's free agencies, combined with what you're seeing here in the draft as you continue to evaluate these guys going into it. Because what you do in free agency, no matter what they say, is still going to dictate some of what you do in the draft.
Chris Mortensen from ESPN, and we'll hear the entire interview with Chris Mortensen conducted late yesterday in just a moment here on the show, and we'll talk more about that. Overall, the depth in the draft, that was a question that was put to draft analyst Mike Mayock of NFL.com, and he had this to say about how deep this draft is this year.
I've said several times, if you're a playoff team this year, you're laughing because there's so much depth to this thing that I think if you're drafting 20 to 30, it's not a whole lot different than the fifth or sixth pick. So for me, if you're a playoff team, boy, you're just sitting back going, hey, this is pretty good. And if you're a top 10 team, I mean, look at the difference. It's so stark, the difference between Ryan Grigson in this building a year ago as a first-time GM with a new coach, and he's got RG3 and Luck to choose from. And now in Kansas City, Andy Reid and John Dorsey, new coach, new GM, there's not a quarterback in sight, probably, at that point. So it's a whole different level at the top end and the bottom end here.
Yeah, very interesting observation. I think it sounds like that's the consensus that's developing, that obviously this draft, when it comes to quarterbacks, nowhere near as strong as last year. But even, you know, I've heard people say, and as you'll hear Mayock say there, and later on when we have more cuts from him on the show, the consensus is it doesn't really make a lot of difference if you're choosing 5th or 25th this year in the draft, because the talent is, you know, there's no one spectacular. There's no true blue chippers. It's spread out pretty evenly over the entire draft. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Some other non-combine news in the NFL today. The report that Tom Brady has been locked to a contract for life with the New England Patriots. Peter King of SI.com says the Patriots have agreed to a 3-year extension that will keep Brady under contract through the 2017 season when he turns 40 years old. In the new deal, it appears that Brady stands to collect just $27 million over the 3 years, essentially about half of what his market value would be out there. So basically, Brady has left his money on the table in order to give the Patriots more money under their cap to sign better players. So interesting. Tom Brady, I mean, obviously he's not going to be, you know, he's not going to be eating ramen noodles, but he apparently left some money on the table to make sure the Patriots can fit other good players under the cap. The Patriots locking up Tom Brady 3 more years through 2017, at which time he'd be 40 years old. Don't imagine that's the type of news that has people popping champagne corks here in Western New York. At least you can see the end, right? 2017. At least there's a who knows? He may go Brett Favre on us and play forever, try to play forever. But at least there's an end. Speaking of quarterbacks, at the other end of the spectrum, Blaine Gabbert of the Jacksonville Jaguars, he's been told by the Jags that there's going to be an open competition for the quarterback job there. David Caldwell, the Western New York native, the new Jags general manager, said it's going to be a wide open competition. That's what he said at the scouting combine. Said Chad Henne still on the roster, and the Jaguars expect to add one or two more players through free agency or the draft. And Blaine Gabbert will be in a wide open competition for the starting quarterback job in Jacksonville. The news came out yesterday about Alex Smith, the 49ers backup quarterback. The Niners, according to ESPN, involved in talks to trade him and believe they're getting close to making a deal. The earliest that deal could be made is March 12th, 4 p.m., 2 weeks from tomorrow. That's when the league year officially begins. There's no word yet on who the trade partner is with San Francisco. The Kansas City Chiefs have been prominently mentioned, but no deal in place right now. The Arizona Cardinals said to be mentioned as well in a trade, possibly for Alex Smith. As far as I can tell, there's no interest at all on the part of the Buffalo Bills. I cannot detect that at all. And I'd be surprised if there was. I don't think he's kind of fits at all the profile of what the Buffalo Bills are looking for. But as far as I can tell, no interest at all from the Buffalo Bills on being involved in the possible trade talks for Alex Smith, the backup for the Niners. Most signs seem to support the point that he would go to Kansas City, but Again, nothing official yet. There was Bills news over the weekend. Tomorrow, the news that David Nelson will not be offered a contract, will not be tendered a contract as a restricted free agent. So David Nelson's tenure with the Bills apparently coming to an end. You know, the new coaching staff takes a look at David Nelson and the knee injury, obviously. And GM Buddy Nix quoted yesterday saying, "We spoke with David Nelson's agent this morning and informed him we will not tender David." So now, instead of being a restricted free agent, David Nelson will be an unrestricted free agent when the league year begins on March 12th. Coming off that knee injury from opening day last year. We'll talk more about that moving forward. And the news came Saturday night, late Saturday, about a contract extension for Bills assistant general manager Doug Whaley, who is at very busy at the Combine. Whaley signed to a contract extension by the Bills. Nick's quoted as saying, "I'm happy we've secured Doug's services into the future and look forward to a smooth transition of the position when the time comes." So obviously Doug Whaley anointed virtually now as the next general manager of the Bills. No word yet on when that would take place. As Russ Brandon, the Bills president and CEO, quoted as saying, "There's no immediate or there's no timetable for a transition. We are pleased with the structure of our football operation. Look forward to working with Buddy, Doug, and the entire staff for many years to come." So who knows? But it's clear now Doug Whaley officially anointed as the heir apparent for the general manager's job here in Buffalo with the Bills. So you're caught up on the news. We talked a lot about the Combine. We'd like to hear from you, your thoughts on the Combine, the Bills, the David Nelson release, Doug Whaley extension. Lines are open, 803-0550, the number to call. Toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. You can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Let's take a call from Dan in Angola. Dan, good evening. You're on the show. Hello, Dan. Are you there? You're on the show, Dan. Hi.
Hi. John, with all going down, everything you've been down there, I mean, do you have any idea of, I mean, since it's wide open in this draft here, any idea of who Buffalo may go for in their first pick? Because, I mean, they're letting wide receivers go, they're letting linebackers go, and I don't think they're going for a quarterback myself till later. So any idea that you can, you know, since you were down there?
Yeah, let me answer that, Dan, and let me preface it by saying I have no inside information on this. I have no inside information. Nobody's told me this. But like you, you see what they're doing with the release of the wide receivers, Donald Jones and then David Nelson. Two things about that. A, they are very unlikely to play the type of spread offense that they played the last couple of years under Chan Gailey as the virtual offensive coordinator. They're going to play a different style of offense, more of a West Coast style of offense. It doesn't require four receivers on the field at one time. And so I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, the release of Donald Jones and David Nelson. Secondly, when it comes to those players, by the way, both of them coming off pretty serious medical issues. Donald Jones with the undisclosed medical ailment that took him off, you know, the playing field last year, and David Nelson with the torn ACL from week one last year. So that factors into it as well. But with that in mind, with the receiving the release of those receivers in mind, they do have a needed receiver. And I'll be honest with you, when I went to the Combine last Wednesday morning, my focus was on quarterbacks, just kind of thinking about quarterbacks a lot. When I came home from the Combine last night, my focus had shifted to wide receivers. I think there's more of a chance of getting an impact wide receiver at the number eight position in the first round than there would be of a quarterback. More value there at receiver than there would be a quarterback. And there is a need there, obviously, with the release of David Nelson and Donald Jones. So I'm thinking wide receiver. And again, this is not inside information. This is not anything anybody's told me. But I think those people who tied the Bills to Cordarrelle Patterson, you know, the Tennessee wide receiver in the first round of pick number eight, I think they're on the right track right now. I mean, free agency is still to come on March 12th. They may fill their receiving needs there somehow. But I just have a sense that Cordarrelle Patterson of Tennessee, if he's available there at eight, and he should be, he's the type of guy that they're probably going to take a long, hard look at with that eighth overall pick. They do have linebacker needs as well. But I don't know that there's a linebacker who merits eighth overall. I know they like Kevin Minner of LSU a lot. I know they like several other linebackers. Kasim Green of Rutgers has been mentioned. But again, I don't know that those are eighth overall picks. There's a lot of thought about the value that goes into these picks as well. You know, where does a guy belong? Where would his value be maximized? So just my thoughts, no inside information there. And about 2 months to go, right? We're looking at April 25th for the start of the draft. Is that two? It is. It's 2 months from today. NFL draft 2 months from today. All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back. We're going to be talking with Chris Mortensen, the senior NFL analyst for ESPN. We talked to him yesterday on our way out the door at the Combine in Indy, and you'll hear that interview when we return. We can talk about it, react to it also. Chris Mortensen, when we return, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Welcome back. We are back. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We are live back at our studio at One Bills Drive. It's been a week and a half since we've done a two-hour radio show in this studio. We've been at the Combine in Indianapolis last week up until late last night, and talking a lot about that tonight on the show. We'll take your comments and questions a little bit later on. Joe Buscaglia from WGR, our sideline reporter on the Bills Radio Network, he was at the Combine. We'll get his thoughts at 8 o'clock tonight. And we're going to hear what Mike Mayock thinks about a lot of these different prospects. We were there at a press conference late yesterday when the Combine media portion wrapped up, and Mike Mayock has wide-ranging opinions on a variety of the prospects, and more than 330 prospects there. Interested in your thoughts as well. Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can always follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. And to some people, even good sports fans might be thinking, really, Combine, why would I watch it? Why would I? Who can watch it? You know, somebody told me this over the weekend, and I haven't checked on it, but I don't have any reason to believe it's not true. Somebody told me that the television ratings for the NFL Scouting Combine dwarf the ratings of, say, for instance, the Stanley Cup Finals on network TV. Seriously, I believe it. I mean, the NFL is just giant. I mean, even Combine workouts, even, you know, the draft numbers are incredible. I believe last year, I think I read this, the ratings for the NFL draft last year were better than the ratings for the World Series, for baseball's World Series. Unbelievable. So there is interest, and people kind of tune in and out over the weekend, I know. You may have some thoughts on it. 803-0550 the number. A guy who has a lot of thoughts on it. We had a chance to talk with him before we left Lucas Oil Stadium last night. Chris Mortensen is the senior NFL analyst for ESPN, and we talked with him to get a combine overview last night.
John Murphy with the senior NFL analyst for ESPN, Chris Mortensen. Chris, thanks very much for doing this with us. As the combine winds down, it occurs to me that this is just a piece of the puzzle, isn't it? This is not the be-all and end-all.
No, it's not, because you're taking a look. First of all, this is not the be-all, end-all for these draft prospects, but you're also looking together to put together a picture of the combination of free agency, your own free agents, other people's free agencies, combined with what you're seeing here in the draft as you continue to evaluate these guys going into it. Because what you do in free agency, no matter what they say, is still going to dictate some of what you do in the draft.
When you look at this overall draft class, the prospects here at the Combine this week, is it? Are we looking at a draft class that's kind of middle of the road? I mean, there really doesn't seem to be, if you're drafting 5th or you're drafting 25th, I don't know if there's much of a drop-off.
Well, the scouts are excited about this draft. Mm-hmm. First of all, I would not call it a middle-of-the-road draft. What it lacks is box office stars. You know, there was guys that, you know, like the Andrew Lux, Robert Griffin III's. But, I mean, to me it was exciting here on Sunday that Tavon Austin, West Virginia, a guy that you watched get over 500 yards against Oklahoma, all-purpose yards, 300 of them rushing, by the way, and a guy who people think has got some Percy Harvin, some Darren Sproles, some DeSean Jackson, and I just named three pretty electrifying players, and he comes out and basically verifies that he's really fast. He runs 4.34 electronically, so to me, there's still a lot of quality players in this draft, and it's just a matter of, it's maybe one reason why people like the rookie wage scale, is that you know, you don't have to spend too much money in that top five, even though you may have gotten that same caliber player later on.
I'm glad you mentioned receivers, because from the Buffalo Bills standpoint, they may have come here thinking about quarterbacks, but they may leave here because of some of their own roster moves with David Nelson and Donald Jones. They may leave here thinking about receivers early in the draft.
Well, I think they came here thinking about receivers in the draft. So, yeah, I mean, listen, you want to add somebody to help Stevie Johnson out, and you know, there's some speed guys here. Certainly, you know, Cordero Patterson of Tennessee and a couple other guys, and I mentioned Austin, obviously. The Ryan Swope kid, I mean, if you're looking for a slot guy, this guy ran 4-3 for himself, and he was very productive. He was Johnny Football's, Johnny Manziel's favorite target. So there are those type of players there, and certainly you still got to look at the quarterbacks. You know, Geno Smith did very well here. I mean, I was not surprised, but I did hear from some teams picking in the top 10 is that, you know, this guy helped himself. And I'm thinking, normally you don't hear that about quarterbacks here, because quarterbacks generally can't go up or down based on what they do here.
Is there any of these quarterbacks that you view as a pretty good fit for the Buffalo Bills? Is it Geno Smith?
Well, you know, you'd have to ask Nathaniel Hackett and Coach Marone that. But to me, it's like, you know, you can wait till the second round. I mean, I think Buddy Nix's feelings, and certainly probably Doug Whaley's, is, you know, we got to evaluate this position properly and correctly, and then, you know, pick one and develop that one. You know, we always think it's got to be in the first round, but, you know, let's take John Dorsey, the Chiefs, the general manager there. He was there when they got Aaron Rodgers with the 24th pick, got Brett Favre in the second round, Matt Hasselbeck in the sixth round, Mark Brunell in the fifth round, and he signed Kurt Warner as a undrafted free agent. So you still have to evaluate that other group, and it's hard to just pick one, but what you need if you're a cold-weather team is somebody who's got a big, strong arm, big hands, I'd say, and somebody who can let it rip.
Hey, Chris, Manti Te'o spent a lot of time answering media questions at the Combine on Saturday. Is he answering the questions the teams are posing to him?
Well, yeah. He's not, you know, he's a very, as we saw, his guard is not up. And for the most part, I think teams want to know more about what happened in the BCS championship game against Alabama when he might have been exposed. Didn't have a great game. Was it because he was distracted? How's he going to handle the locker room? We know he's going to be 6 weeks or 8 weeks of prankster in training camp. And then the other thing is just, you know, some say, you know, he's an undersized linebacker, you know. Now, doesn't make him small. He's just a little bit undersized. And some teams think that he's got to be in a 3-4 defense inside, or on a 4-3, he has to go outside. But, you know, here's the thing about it. In the era of spread offenses, at least a lot of teams like to spread it, can he play in space? Well, he can play. You know, he had 7 interceptions this past year. So how he, you know, his measurables are important. In other words, how he runs and all those shuttle drills. So in his football IQ, that's going to be important too.
Outside of the draft, and when you look at quarterbacks, just your thoughts on the futures of guys like Matt Flynn or Alex Smith, and are they available on the free agent market, or are there going to have to be trades for them?
Well, there have to be trades for Alex Smith and Matt Flynn, but I just don't know that, you know, they're going to command. They're not going to command high draft picks. Now, the 49ers want value for Alex Smith. What does that mean? I think it means a fourth or third rounder. So, you know, and people say, well, why not? Well, then you have to decide, like, if you're Buffalo, would Alex Smith really project well in this offense? I don't know. And so, you know, they're not going to be in demand, that's for sure. They won't be, and it will be through the trade.
Chris, word came out this week of a possible schedule change for all of this offseason work, the combine to March, free agency to April, the draft possibly in May, I guess in deference to television, to putting a pretty good TV product on the air during the sweeps period in May.
Shame on them for just having the discussion. Really? By the way, it's never going to be free agency in April. It ain't going to happen. They got to get union approval. Why would you do that? I mean, they're already upset. The player agents are upset because it's March 12th. So, listen, the drafts, it's been discussed for about 5 to 10 years to put the draft into May, that first week. That's only pushing it back 1 week. That's not a big deal, but free agency will never happen in April. They'll never get union approval on that. Listen, and by the way, it'd be nice to see if some football people make these decisions in concert with instead of the business and marketing people, which is happening in this league way too often.
Last thing, Chris, for the Buffalo Bills, a 13-year playoff drought, they really don't have the benefit of the doubt anymore, do they? I mean, Doug Marone really is under pressure to do some winning, and pretty quickly.
Yeah, we said that about every new regime that's come in. So what they need, the Bills, is stability, and stability with the arrow pointing up. I mean, one thing that Chan Gailey said, he felt badly that he put everybody in a position where his job was a point of discussion in December. And Chan, if you don't have him, meant that sincerely. So what they just need is to be stabilized, have a philosophy, move forward with it, and let's face it, find a quarterback.
That's the key. Chris, thanks very much.
All right, take care, John.
Chris Mortensen, ESPN senior analyst, joining us late yesterday on our way out of the building at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine. Our thanks to him. A lot of issues there I want to deal with, talk about, and we'll get to that in a moment. I do want to squeeze in a call here. Vinny in Amherst. Vinny, welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show. Hello.
How are you doing today?
Great.
I actually just wanted to bring up a prospect I haven't really heard too much about, but I actually watched him in the Ohio State game and thought he played great. Great pro-style quarterback is Zach Dicer from Miami of Ohio.
Right.
He fit the Big Ben mold to me. He has a great arm, threw downfield. Obviously, he was in the MAC all year, so playing against some subpar competition, but at the same time, he's also throwing to some subpar players, so let me get your thoughts on that and see if the Bills were actually considering him at all.
Yeah, the Bills have not mentioned that name. I'm sure they've got him on their, in fact, actually Doug Whaley did know, we did talk about him weeks ago. Zach Dicer did not throw or participate in any of the workouts at the Combine this past week because he
He tore a hamstring, slight tear of the hamstring a week or so ago. It's going to be another 3 weeks or so. He's going to have to wait for his pro day coming up next month before he does anything. But there's a lot to like about Zach Dysart. You know, a good arm, obviously, and good size. I think he's about 6'3". We saw him at the Senior Bowl last month, and I thought he struggled early in the week and kind of settled in later on. It's tough for quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl in a practice setting without absolutely no time to work on timing or anything at all with the all-star receivers they're working with. But I didn't come away overly impressed with his performance at the Senior Bowl. Producer Russ Burton, you were at the Ohio-OSU game.
Yeah, right? I was at that game he was talking about. Ohio State, Miami. Yeah. And I felt the same way. I was there obviously watching Ohio State, but I was really impressed with Zach Dysart. I thought his team kind of let him down. His receivers, you know, aren't really up to his caliber, I thought. And I thought he read the defense really well and made good decisions. And overall played a good game himself, put his team in a decent position early on, but, you know, they just couldn't keep up with Ohio State. But, yeah. I mean, anything I've heard of since then, you know, the game at UB, I know he really underperformed. And, yeah, you talked about it, the Senior Bowl, he was not good.
He was lost.
Yeah, he was either five or six as far as the six quarterbacks that were there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a shame he couldn't work out because, I mean, especially with the way this class of quarterbacks worked out in the combine this weekend. He really could have done some good for himself.
Yeah. Fourth or fifth round, I think most people have him pegged at. And quarterbacks sometimes go a little bit higher than they're projected. But we'll see. I mean, the story is not written yet, as we said, 2 months away from the NFL draft. We're going to talk more about some of Chris Mortensen's thoughts, and we'd love to get your thoughts as well. 2 months away from the draft, your thoughts on the combine. We're here until 9 tonight with a Real Live Radio back in our studio in Orchard Park. Haven't done that forever. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Coming up next hour on the show at 8 o'clock, Joe Biscaglia joined us from WGR, our sideline reporter on the Bills Radio Network. He was at the NFL Scouting Combine, as were we, and we'll talk with Joe about what he saw, what he thought about the players moving through. And also next hour, Mike Mayock, the NFL draft guru, the analyst for the NFL Network's broadcast of games during the season, had a complete comprehensive wrap-up of the combine yesterday, and we'll hear some of his thoughts on what went on. If you're interested in the Bills' take on the combine, the place to go, buffalobills.com. I'm looking at it right now. We have Chris Brown and myself with our video Bills Roundup, the day four wrap, the wrap-up of yesterday at the combine. Chris, the story with linebackers who kind of transferred over from the safety position. I've got a story up there about the choices, the options for the Bills at the wide receiver spot. Video with impressions from workout day three. There's a lot going on there. Really is a good place to go for combine information, buffalobills.com. As usual, if you miss our show, you can always log on to buffalobills.com/John Murphy. The podcast from this show will be up a little bit later on tonight. You can download the mobile Bills app at buffalobills.com. You can subscribe to us on iTunes as well. It's all right there. A couple of things, you know, we talked about Chris Mortensen, some of his thoughts, and a couple of things he said, I think, bear mentioning. Manti Te'o and the measurables, and really the measurables were not that good for Manti Te'o when it came to the 40-yard dash in the and the workouts today. I watched a little bit of it around noontime today live on NFL Network, and I think there is a sense of disappointment about Manti Te'o and what he did on the field at the combine. You have to consider, what does that mean as far as projecting him as an NFL player? Obviously, Manti Te'o played at the highest level of college football, right at near the highest anyway, extremely productive, obviously a good leader and a good team guy. You've got all the off-the-field issues relating back to last January that, you know, teams are going to have to evaluate. But I'm wondering if Manti Te'o has dropped from maybe first half of the first round to second half of the first round, maybe lower. And if that if he has a chance to recover his position there. You heard Chris Mortensen talk about Tavon Austin, the wide receiver from West Virginia, who was just really impressive in the workout yesterday. Obviously, Chris Mortensen saw it and thought so as well. I talked about him earlier on this hour. And he referred in particular to the monster game he had against Oklahoma back in November. 572 total yards of offense for a wide receiver. 344 rushing the ball. I looked at some of the video yesterday at the combine on Tavon Austin versus Oklahoma. I mean, he was unstoppable. It's Oklahoma. There's some players there, and he's weaving around, going through Sooners defenders. Just an amazing, amazing performance by him in that game. And the other Mortensen takeaway I got from our interview yesterday, obviously totally against altering to any great deal the schedule of the NFL offseason. There was talk late last week about moving the combine to March, right, and moving the free agency to April and moving the draft to May, all in an effort to modify and to provide more television programming, to put the draft on in May when it's a ratings period. Chris Mortensen totally against that. And I like what he said when he said, it'd be nice if they asked the football people from time to time about what they thought about these ideas. I agree with that. We'll see what Joe Biscaglia thinks about all these issues when we return. The sideline reporter for us for the Bills Radio Network. He'll be on the line with us live when we return for Hour 2. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live at One Bills Drive at the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's going to the house. He's doing it again. My man. Touchdown, Buffalo.
I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
Loud noises!
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Family-owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO.
Send him to Hawaii. Put him in the Pro Bowl. He is a playmaker.
This gentleman is the Buffalo Bills' finest hour.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, on the official voice of the Buffalo Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Back for Hour 2 of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, back in our studio at One Bills Drive, and very happy to be back after spending the last 4 or 5 days at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. Good time there, a lot of good work done, and a lot of favorable impressions made, but it's always good to be back home. And happy to have you in the audience as well with us here for the next hour. Coming up later on, Mike Mayock, the NFL draft expert from NFL Network, will hear some of his comments from a Combine wrap-up news conference late yesterday. He goes over a wide array of topics in the his evaluation of what went down at the Combine. We'll hear from Mike Mayock later on this hour. And right now, we're going to hear from a guy who was also at the Combine, our sideline reporter on the Bills Radio Network from WGR Radio, Joe B., Joe Biscaglia. Joe, you made it back safe and sound. Good to talk to you. Thanks for coming on.
Problem, Murph. I made the drive back, and I heard you guys had to make us quite the drive back, too. So, yeah, I'm glad we're all back in Buffalo, safe and sound.
Yeah, it's quite a drive, as you know, 8 hours, and ours was unscheduled because of a flight problem, because of a mechanical problem with the flight last night. But there came a point with the four of us in the car last night, Joe, and I think it was somewhere between Columbus, Ohio, and like Alliance, Ohio, and I basically said, enough. We cannot talk about the Combine anymore. And that's about 4 hours into the drive. It's a grind, that drive, and you're over. If you're like us, I think you are. You're so overloaded with football information, you just feel like you got to talk it over, right? Hello, Joe. Are you there? I don't know how we lost him. Joe, are you there? Well, we'll reconnect with Joe B. Joe Biscaglia. Lost him. That hasn't happened in a while. Right? It's been a while since we've had phone issues. That's good to know. We're back in the studio. We'll reconnect with Joe Biscaglia, talking about the NFL Scouting Combine with Joe B. Joe's been going to the Combine for years now. And I know it's one of the highlights of the football calendar for him. He loves the NFL Combine. Loves getting around all those scouts and talking about foot. And he studies it pretty deeply, too, which is why we want to talk to him. I mean, I just asked him an innocuous question about driving home, and we somehow got cut off. But we'll reconnect with Joe Biscaglia. I kind of want to bounce my issues off him. Joe, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here with you, Murph.
I don't know what happened there. Hey, let me tell you, I talked to Shopin the Bulldog. I gave, at the top of the show, the five most impressive combine performances that I saw over the weekend, and I want to hear yours, too, but can I just bounce a couple of mine off you and get your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely.
Geno Smith, West Virginia quarterback. I thought watching the quarterback workouts yesterday, he kind of separated himself from the rest of the pack. He, to me, was physically head and shoulders above any other quarterback that was in Indianapolis this weekend. Your thoughts?
It looked like he was trying to give the receivers a few bruised knuckles. That's how fast he was throwing the ball on these little 10-yard outs and everything. But, yeah, he definitely has some natural talent to work with. And that's never been the problem with him. I mean, I thought he was going to have a really nice week for himself, and that's exactly what he did. But the bigger question with him is going through his reads and things like that. But he certainly helped himself. I don't know if it's enough to make him the first overall pick or anything crazy like that, but I do think he was quite impressive this week.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I noticed that, too, on the short passes. Lacked some touch and almost drilled it through the hands of several of receivers on the short passes. But maybe not the first overall pick, but probably, and again, this is without seeing Matt Barkley, but would you think Geno Smith is the first quarterback picked in the draft a couple of months away?
Yeah, just based on the – I mean, I don't have him as the – as my top quarterback per se after the stuff I've gone through, but you know, I think with his natural skill set and his raw talent in terms of being the quarterback that had the best 40 and having that threat of mobility as opposed to some of the other guys out there who don't have that, I think that might be what teams in today's NFL, because it is the copycat league as we all know it. In today's NFL, I think that might give him a leg up on guys like Matt Barkley or Tyler Wilson or Tyler Bray or Mike Glennon or these guys. So, I think Geno was impressive in that respect, and he very well could be the first guy off the board. Will it be in the top 10? Will it be in the top 20? Will it be in the top 32? I mean, that much has not been cleared up at this point, so we have a long way to go.
Who do you have as your top quarterback, and tell me why, Joe?
I have Matt Barkley, actually, and I know it's not really popular amongst the draft ranking people out there, but I don't know. I just see a guy who has really taken over a program at USC that their coach abandoned them, and then they bring in this new coach, and then they get a hearty amount of NCAA sanctions. And he goes through all this stuff, and he gets thrown in the fire as a true freshman in Los Angeles, in a city where they're starved for an NFL team, and they don't have one. So the only thing they have is either UCLA, who hasn't been great up until these past couple of years, or and most notably USC. So I like the overall package with Matt Barkley, and I'm kind of mystified by some who say he can't make the deep throw. I've seen him do it a few separate times, just rear back, and when he can step into the pocket, I've seen him fire it down the field almost 60 yards. So I really like what I see from Matt Barkley, and you know, I don't think that there's an overwhelming first overall prospect in this year's draft, but I think Barkley might be a product of paralysis by analysis, where he's just he's getting, you know, dinged because people have seen so much of him.
Yeah, and that's the point I was going to make, Joe, and I think I said this on the radio show last Friday. I think all of us who follow this stuff suffer in some respect from Barkley fatigue. I mean, he's been around for a while, and you see him, you know, as a true freshman at USC, the premier college program at the time when he first started. I mean, I think we're all like, Matt Barkley, we've seen him. You know what I mean? You call it paralysis by analysis. I refer to it as Barkley fatigue. It's like, guy's been around forever. You don't even notice how good he has been at times.
Yeah, I do recall you saying that when we had a couple of conversations during the combine. I mean, yeah, I think it's absolutely right, and I think that could be the case with any four-year starter that is in the limelight as much as Matt Barkley was. It was a big to-do when he was named the starter as a true freshman, and he didn't really have a freshman year that lived up to his billing, but he progressed a bit more in sophomore year, really just was great his junior season. And because he took a bit of a step back, because the rest of his team took a bit of a step back, and his offensive line certainly took a step back, especially with the injuries along that offensive line, he struggled some, not as much as you would think. If you look at his statistics and look at the way he played the games, he didn't struggle as much as you would think, but you know, he wasn't as good as his junior year, and people are holding that against him, rightfully or wrongfully so.
One more quarterback question, Joe, and I let me bounce this, my observation off you. You don't have to agree, by the way. But, I, again, just like the week a month ago at the Senior Bowl, I come away
I don't think they're bad quarterbacks, but I'm underwhelmed by, you know, like the next tier, Ryan Nassib and Tyler Wilson, especially. I'd like to like these guys. I like their backstory. I like their toughness. I like their command of what they've done, you know, in the huddle as college quarterbacks. But watching them on the field, both in the Senior Bowl, venue a month ago and yesterday on the field at Lucas Oil Stadium, I come away underwhelmed. What about you?
Guys that I agree with a few of them. The guys I don't really have that high of a regard for. You know, Glennon I think looked terrible throwing the ball this past week. EJ Manuel is not someone that I'm really on board with, and I've seen a lot of him in my day. Ryan Nassib is someone whose downfield throws have always concerned me since I've been watching his stuff. The one that I might disagree with a little bit is Tyler Wilson, only because I know what he's capable of. I've seen what he could do in his junior season at Arkansas, and I just wish it could be a sort of a turn back the clock sort of thing for him, because now you have to wonder if the way he played in his senior season, the way that he was always running for his life and taking shots to the chops because his offensive line was not good, you have to wonder if that's going to stick with him for the long haul now and if he's going to be a changed quarterback. But if you look back at his junior season, I mean, I think you could have made a case that he went higher than Ryan Tannehill in 2012. So I do want to see some from Tyler Wilson. I'm not resigned to the fact that he's not going to be someone that could potentially rise up. But you know, he didn't have that strong of a showing at the combine, and he's going to need to show more if he wants to get into that second round range. Need a quarterback.
Talking with Joe Biscaglia from WGR Radio, a sideline reporter on the Bills Radio Network. Like me, Joe is just back from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. And Joe, if you, based on the events of the last week or two around the Bills with the decisions not to bring back Donald Jones and David Nelson, we should probably spend some time talking about receivers. Were there any receivers at the combine that impressed you as potential first round fits for the Buffalo Bills this year?
Oh, I've loved Cordarrelle Patterson for quite some time, Murph. I think he is someone who's raw, yes, but the things that he is raw at is very, very coachable and very, very fixable. Now, what you cannot normally teach is having a playmaking ability down the field. We saw it this past year with C.J. Spiller making guys miss in the open field. Patterson is not as speedy as C.J. Spiller. Don't get that twisted, but when you see an almost 6'2", 210-plus-pound receiver just setting people up, making them miss, and just having this incredible vision down the field and them utilizing him each and every way. They utilized him out of the backfield. They had him on wide receiver reverses. That he can go up and catch the ball in traffic. I mean, this is a guy that has everything you want out of a receiver. He just needs to be coached up a little bit because he only has that 1 year at Tennessee. But you're talking about raw talent. He is so far up there. I really like Cordarrelle Patterson. And if the Bills were to elect to go wide receiver at 8, I think he could certainly fit the bill of what they need out of a wide receiver, because we always have to go back to what Buddy Nick said, having a wide receiver that's open when he's not, and Cordarrelle Patterson fits that.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot to like there, although watching him yesterday, Patterson looked a little bit out of sorts to me on the field yesterday, but you know who impressed me yesterday, and it probably should not come as a surprise because the combine essentially is like a track and field workout. And Patterson's Tennessee teammate, Justin Hunter, a bona fide track guy, he just looked great to me yesterday, how fluid he was and how well he ran yesterday. And quite frankly, his size. I mean, he's a good size with some football production at UT, Joe.
Yeah, he's a lanky guy, and I'm a lanky guy too, so I know a thing or two about it. But he's 6'4", 196. At least that's what he weighed in at the combine, which is a little bit lighter than I'm sure teams would like, but he has the bill that he could put some more weight on, and he's someone that Tyler Bray really went to a lot over the course of this past year, and you know, Justin Hunter had kind of a top billing coming into the year along with Derek Rogers, who later transferred over to Tennessee Tech because of some off the field stuff, but those two guys were considered amongst the best of receivers heading into this upcoming season. Cordarrelle Patterson kind of outshined Hunter throughout the season in terms of his playmaking ability, but Hunter's still a competent receiver. He's a better route runner than Patterson is, and he can go up and get the ball. But the explosiveness is something that Patterson has in him, and the playmaking ability down the field in terms of turning a 15-yard catch into a touchdown. Patterson has that, and Hunter, while he can do it, he doesn't nearly do it as much as Patterson does. So those two guys are both very intriguing prospects. I would anticipate both of them come off the board sometime within the first 45, 50 picks.
Any other receivers you think merit early top half of the first round consideration?
Top half of the first round, I don't know. I mean, Tavon Austin is interesting from West Virginia, but he's small. And I mean, they used him at running back. They used him a little bit of everywhere.
He had a spectacular workout, as you know, yesterday.
He really did. But I don't know if I would be able to get over him being, 5'8", 5'9", whatever he checked in at, for that eighth overall pick. For the Bills specifically, I don't know that that's what they need. I think they need someone that can go up and get it. So if they don't end up taking one in the first round with a guy like Patterson, I could very well see them going second round with a guy like a Keenan Allen out of Cal, if he lasts that long, who a lot of people are comparing him to Anquan Boldin at this point. Terrence Williams from Baylor is another bigger wide receiver that can go and get it. Or Hunter, like you even brought up just a couple of minutes ago. I mean, I think the depth of this receiver group is very good, and there's some tall ones there that can go up and get the ball, which is exactly what the Bills are looking for.
Talking with Joe Biscaglia, Joe B. from WGR Radio, our sideline reporter on the Bills Radio Network, about the NFL Scouting Combine. Joe was just there, as were we. This is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive. We should talk about linebackers, Joe, and it appears that Manti Te'o's stock is dropping like a rock based on his performances today, huh?
Yeah, I think the overwhelming thing with him was that he was highly thought of throughout the year because of all the Heisman buzz and the fact that he meant so much to that defense. But if you looked at him and you saw the type of speed he had, it didn't really match the hype all that much. I look at Manti Te'o and I'll tell you somebody that I kind of see it along the same lines. I mean, Paul Posluszny to me is somewhat of the same player as Manti Te'o. And you talk about a guy who's good moving from side to side, and not sideline to sideline per se, but just being able to diagnose the play. But he's a little bit slower and can make tackles down the field, but he's never really gonna pop into the backfield all that much and really impose his will. I think Manti Te'o would be a good fit for someone in the second round, but I never really thought he was this first round top 10 guy that would garner the same type of pick as Luke Kuechly. He's a different athlete. He's not as explosive and he's not as good in coverage as Luke Kuechly is. So it's no huge shock, Murph, but he certainly didn't do himself any favors by running in the 4.8s today.
You know, I like a lot, and I'm curious your opinion on Kevin Minter from LSU, inside linebacker. As I said earlier on the show, I wish he was like 2 or 3 inches taller.
Yeah, I haven't done too much on Minter just yet. The linebackers are scheduled. I'm doing them in a couple of weeks here on my schedule leading up to the draft. But Minter draws a lot of high praise as a second, third round guy, and we know Buddy Nix loves guys from LSU. We do know that, so I wouldn't be surprised if he's at least within consideration and what they're looking for at linebacker, because we know they do need a lot of linebackers.
Last thing, Joe, and you take this draft very seriously, as you should, and you've made a point of doing it over the last several years. How does the combine and the workouts and the numbers at the combine, how much weight do you put on that in your evaluation of what you're looking at from these players?
In the grand scheme of things, not all that much. I think it's more important in terms of, medical stuff, and always finding out through reports, like if the drug testing through these, because a lot of red flags are brought up from the combine and tested the combine. So that part of it is important. I think one of the things you can take away are during the cornerback drills, which will be going on tomorrow, seeing which guys have the hips to move and be able to play the position correctly. For wide receivers, I think it's somewhat effective. Quarterbacks, not so much, just because they've got no one coming at them. They've got no one pressuring them in their face. So you can't really take too much out of it. But there are some positions that benefit and some of them that are just kind of neutral. So I don't put too much into it. I like to think that looking back and looking at what they've done on the field in game situations and game settings in clutch times is far more important. And of course, it's only half of the puzzle because you have to. I'm not able to talk to all these guys in an intimate setting the way NFL teams are, but knowing what they can do on the field in a game is really important. I think that certainly trumps the combine as a whole.
Joe, thanks very much. Good to talk to you. Good to see you this weekend, and we'll talk again. Thank you.
Sounds great, Murph. Thanks a lot.
Joe Biscaglia, Joe B. He's just back from the NFL scouting combine in Indy, like us, and always good to get his thoughts. Joe puts a lot of work in on this stuff, folks. He really does, including the time spent at the combine to look over some of these people, talk to some of these people, and get impressions. So we always like to check in with him. Another guy who works it pretty hard, still working it, is Mike Mayock, draft analyst for the NFL Network and NFL.com. Late yesterday at the combine in Indy, he answered questions for about a half hour, a variety of questions. We want to play some of the highlights from that when we return, some of his thoughts on various issues, various players, and we'll talk about that and bounce ideas around. Phone lines open over the next 40 minutes or so. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can always follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Just back from the NFL Combine, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live from One Bills Drive on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. John Murphy Show presented by NOCO here until 9 o'clock tonight, and happy to have you along with us. If you have thoughts on what you've seen, what you heard, what you read about from the Combine, lines are open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We just got back from the Combine this morning, actually, for 4:30 this morning, but we're up. We can talk about it. Call from Pete in Lancaster. Pete, welcome. You're on the air.
John, I don't really get it. The Bills cutting loose that fine young receiver from Florida, David Nelson. I mean, the guy had great hands. He had a great attitude. Do you know anything about that I don't?
Well, I don't know if I know what you don't know, but I do know that, a couple of things. Let me tell you my take on it. Number one, the offense is in for a pretty dramatic overhaul here. They are no longer going to be, I wouldn't think, a 4 and 5 wide receiver spread offense. So they don't need those as many wide receivers, and probably don't need the style of wide receiver that David Nelson possesses. The thinking is, unofficially, they're going to play more of a West Coast style of offense, which might not necessitate a David Nelson type. He is coming off a serious ACL tear, which occurred, in opening weekend last year. There's obviously questions about that. I just think they want to get better. They want to get better than what they had from David Nelson, quite frankly. And I think they felt the same way about Donald Jones. So that doesn't do it for you? You think there's more to it than that? I don't know that there is. What do you think?
No, I don't think there's anything more to it. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Pete. I mean, there's no, from what I can tell, there's no backstory here. They want to get better. They want to get better than what they got from Donald Jones. They want to get better than what they got from David Nelson. I like David Nelson, a great guy, and a dedicated performer. But, a lot he became essentially going into this year, and he was banged up this year, but he became essentially a kind of a lankier tight end. There wasn't a whole lot of run after the catch with David Nelson. There weren't a whole lot of big plays. He was, I think, a very valuable red zone option for the Bills offense. But I just think they want to get better, and they want to run a different style of offense than what they've run in the past. And I think it's as simple as that. And, it's professional football. They don't want to tie up a bunch of money. And keep this in mind, too. I'm just going to by tendering him an offer, I mean, they really don't have a lot to gain. He becomes a free agent. If they wanted to sign him, they could. But by tendering him an offer, they don't protect themselves in terms of the type of draft pick compensation they would get if someone else signed him because he wasn't drafted. I mean, there's no upside to tendering him an offer. You got two factors. Number one, they want to move on without him, it appears. Number two, what's the upside? Even if you tender him an offer, you get no protection. You're not going to get any compensation if somebody else signs him. So a lot at work there. Emmanuel in Buffalo. Hello, Emmanuel. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing, John?
Okay.
I really got a question on what's going on with Buffalo and Fitzpatrick. Would it be a cap hit if they got rid of him? I mean, and also, I really like Ryan Nassib. You know, he didn't do too well at the combine, but I think he's gonna grow under Doug Marrone. Also, you know, I talk a lot about every time about Chris Kelce, how he's an underachiever for the Buffalo Bills, but he's one of the most overpaid players on this team. I mean, there's guys that needed to go, such as George Wilson, but I think Barnett was a better leader for any ran a 3-4 scheme in Green Bay. I just don't understand why we made some moves, or maybe you can shed some light on that and let me know what you know about those issues.
Okay, let me work back to front there first. You know, the moves are not complete. They're not lining up and playing this Sunday, so who knows what the roster looks like in September. Their moves are nowhere near complete. So that's why, you know, you may think this is what they're going to camp with. It is not. I mean, there's additions to be made by the draft and free agency, and I'm sure subtractions to be made as well. So we'll see how that goes. On Nassib, I don't think he was disappointed at the combine. I guess I said I was underwhelmed. You know, I think he's very, very smooth. I think I don't think he is exceptionally quick-footed in his pass drops. I saw him overthrow a couple of times on some deep balls, and I saw him underthrow a couple of times as well. I found it interesting that Nassib wore a tank top, and not all the quarterbacks did. And somebody actually tweeted me and said that's the way he always works out, almost like he wants people to see, you know, the muscle definition in his arms. And
suns
and
out, guns out.
Exactly, like Andy Levitre says, suns out, guns out. But, you know, I don't think I thought he, you know, three-step drop game, which is essentially West Coast offense. I think he looked extremely solid, you know, with quick steps back. Whether or not he winds up here, I'm not sure. They might be able to do better than Ryan Nassib. And again, back to your initial thing about, well, you don't understand what they're doing with Fitzpatrick. Well, you know, there is an apparent deadline coming up, I think March 12th, March 13th, for a roster bonus. And I think a lot of this, that's 2 weeks away, by the way, a lot of this is going to become clear as that deadline approaches as far as the future of Ryan Fitzpatrick. A lot of talk about the prospects from us, and a lot of talk from Mike Mayock, the NFL draft analyst for NFL.com and the NFL Network. He had a press conference yesterday. You heard Joe Biscaglia talk about Cordarrelle Patterson, the Tennessee wide receiver, who you know, has been linked to the Bills in several mock drafts, maybe at 8 overall. Patterson, you know, ran a pretty good 40 time, 4.42. I didn't think he looked especially impressive at the workout yesterday that I saw. But Mike Mayock, draft analyst for NFL Network, in his press conference yesterday, was asked about Cordarrelle Patterson, the Tennessee wideout.
The Patterson thing, it, to me, is, again, fast guys run fast, and I knew he was going to run fast. He's a height, weight, speed freak. The question is, for guys that were one-year college guys coming from 2 years of JC, is what's the history on the kid, and you better get to know the kid. That's his deal. Nobody doubts how good he is with the ball in his hands and his developmental upside as a number one receiver. What they've got to figure out is what's his work ethic. Does he love the game? Can we trust the kid? Can we trust him to develop if we draft him high? He's a top 10 guy naturally. I don't expect him to go in the top 10, though.
I wish I had more time to get into it with Mayock, because if he naturally belongs in the top 10, I don't know why he might not go in the top 10. I think I know why. I think it's because of just the one-year experience. And the backstory on Patterson, he went to Hutchinson Junior College in Kansas for a couple of years and then went to Tennessee and had a good year. Not a great year, but a very good year. He projects as an NFL-type receiver with his combination of size and speed. As Mike Mayock said, fast guys run fast, and he is he's that guy. You know, he's the guy that he fits the profile of what you'd want as a wide receiver in the NFL. But there's not a lot of production yet to back it up, and I think that's what got some of the people stumped. And as Mayock says, you know, we're 2 months away from the draft today. There's work to be done in these next 2 months about guys like him who may be a bit of a mystery with just the 1 year under his belt. Mike Mayock, NFL draft analyst, also talked about the guy that I listed as one of my most impressive performers of the week at the NFL Combine, West Virginia quarterback Geno Smith. We did not get a chance to see Geno Smith at the Senior Bowl last month, but he was throwing yesterday. I thought he looked extremely good on the field yesterday, and I thought he separated himself from the other quarterbacks at the Combine with his performance yesterday. Mike Mayock was asked what he liked about Geno Smith and his performance at the Combine.
I saw everything that I saw on tape about Geno, and that is he flashed everything you want to see in a franchise quarterback on tape during the season. He's got a big arm, good arm. He moves well. He can be accurate. Everything I saw on tape, I saw here today. He's a natural thrower. He doesn't force the ball. He's a very natural thrower. What I go back to is I don't care as much about this. I'm happy he did this because it just shows me he's not afraid. I'm really happy he did this. Cam Newton did it and didn't throw the ball well, and he still was the first pick in the draft, right? So to me, it's more important what you see on tape. And I want to bang the table because I want to like Geno Smith. We interviewed him. I loved what he had to say. But there's just too many inconsistencies on tape for me to say that Kansas City or anybody that high should take him. I think he's more of like a 20 to 32 guy, and I've said that based on watching, I think, six of his games. I'm going to go watch the rest of them, but there's just so many inconsistencies with both Geno Smith and the entire quarterback class that I have trouble banging the table for any of them.
That's exactly what Mayock told us a month ago at the Senior Bowl, too. He you know, has trouble banging the table, going to the wall for any of these guys. I would say, and even though he might rank Geno Smith as a 20 to 32, you know, first round, somewhere in that range, somebody's going to pull the trigger in the top half of the first round on Geno Smith. I am fairly confident about that. Let's take a phone call. We'll go to Paul in Hawaii. Hello, Paul. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, Murph. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I know a while back, Buddy Nix, you know, he said we're not in rebuilding mode. But, you know, when you bring in a new quarterback, well, not yet, but, you know, planning to bring a new quarterback, you're bringing new coaches, you're letting five-plus veterans go. To me, that sounds like rebuild mode. You call it whatever you want to. Things are changing. Not saying that's a bad thing. You know, in this free agent period, what do you think we need to do, or what positions do you think we need to focus in on free agency in order to kind of maintain where we were without going back? Because I think we have real good people in place with Eric Woods, Spiller, Mario Williams, the cornerback we picked up last year. I think we're right there, but I don't want to go back.
Paul, let me ask you, what are you trying to maintain? Six wins a year? I mean,
No, that's what I'm saying. It's not a bad thing.
I don't think it is.
I don't think it's a bad thing. My question to you is, all the need we need a lot.
Yeah.
Since we're dropping these people, we're going to have to make some moves in free agency. No, maybe not big splashes like last year, but what do you think we need to do during free agency? What do you think we need to address before we get to the draft?
Okay, yeah, good question. And I'm not trying to be a wise guy, but I just, rebuilding, yeah, let's build. You know, if I'm the Buffalo Bills, if I'm the decision maker, let's build. Let's get out of the 6-win, 7-win, 5-win, 4-win mode, and let's get to the playoffs. They need to build. They need to rebuild, and which is not to say that you totally dismantle. So to answer your question, I don't think they're in dismantle mode here. I think the new coaching staff comes in with fresh eyes and different priorities, too, on what they want to do offensively and defensively. And they are unbound by the players who have been here in the past. They have no history with these players. They have no stake in these players. And so, yeah, there's going to be collateral damage, I guess, when it comes to, you know, some of the players who are let go. I don't think they're trying to deliberately create holes, but I do think they plan on being pretty aggressive in filling those holes and filling what they perceive to be the holes and to get better players in those positions. To your question on free agents, I have not. We are 2 weeks away. I haven't taken a deep look at the free agent pool yet. I don't think there's any answer at quarterback for the Bills in free agency. I don't. And I don't think that's the way they want to go. And I talked to Bill Polian about this last Thursday at the Combine. He said that's not the answer. You really don't get the franchise quarterback you're looking for out of free agency. And I tend to agree with that. There may be some answers at receiver and linebacker, especially linebacker, in the free agent market. And I think that's been their targeted areas of need. But, David Nelson, Donald Jones, Nick Barnett, George Wilson, great guys, all of them to a man. dedicated performers who gave their all over the last few years, in most cases, a couple of years for Nick Barnett, but they got to get better. Rebuilding or not, I think in very rare cases does a team or a regime come in and say, we're rebuilding, because they just, you don't want to give anybody an excuse to win two games or three games. In this case, with a team that underachieved last year and won six games, with a team that most people believe, and I believe severely underachieved on the defensive side of the ball, I think it behooves them to get better, but, you know, not to dismantle. And the parts you mentioned, you know, the offensive line is solid. I think they're hard at work trying to get Andy Levitre under contract. Jarris Bird, solid player, a playmaker defensively. I think they're hard at work trying to get Jarris Bird under contract. Leotis McKelvin, a valuable special teamer and a guy who can play corner. They're hard at work, I believe, trying to get him signed to a contract. So they're not, you know, throwing everybody out. I think they've picked their spots and trying, in an effort to get better. They're rebuilding or not, they're trying to get better at most of these positions. And is it going to work? Who knows? We'll know, this time next year whether it works or not. But you got to change. You can't keep doing the same thing and win six games every year and miss the playoffs. I think that's what's at play in all of these changes. More coming up. We'd like to hear from you. The phone line's open. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. We're back. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. A few minutes left here, and going to be on the podcast tomorrow as the Sabres playing back with live radio coming up on Wednesday night. As we continue to talk about the NFL Scouting Combine, we made the trip out there to Indy last Wednesday, got back early this morning at the NFL Scouting Combine, talking a lot about some of the prospects. You're welcome to join us in the next few minutes as we wrap up this hour. 803-0550, the number, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Call here from Sean in Florida. Hello, Sean. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, John, how are you doing, man? I have a question here for you about the draft. I wanted to ask you about a specific person in particular. I know that Jim Kelly was talking about for a quarterback position, and since him having played in the weather condition also, that we should have somebody who has a strong arm. I was wondering about Tyler Bray from Tennessee, what your take is on him. I think he has a really strong arm. I don't know how well his footwork and accuracy issues are, or how mobile he is. But I think that's something we could look at, is somebody who could have a stronger arm maybe for the future. I'll hang up and hear what you have to say.
Thanks. Okay, thanks. Yeah, Tyler Bray, I think, is an intriguing prospect to a lot of people, the Tennessee quarterback. And I think people have a hard time trying to figure out which way he's going to go in many respects. You know, Tyler Bray, who has, as you say, the strong arm. He's got a really strong arm. But does it end right there for Tyler Bray? I don't know. I mean, there are questions about Tyler Bray. In fact, Mike Mayock, the NFL draft expert for NFL.com and the NFL Network, was asked about him yesterday at his post-combine news conference. He was asked actually about Tyler Bray and Tennessee wide receiver Justin Hunter. But here's what Mike Mayock says about Tyler Bray.
Well, I was stunned that Bray was considered a, quote, throwing or combine quarterback and not one of the primary quarterbacks. From an arm talent perspective, he's special. I mean, he's right up there. His arm strength and arm talent's as good as anybody in this draft. He's another one of those guys where you got to figure the kid out, and there's some negatives about the kid. So every team that's interested in him is going to have to figure him out. Hunter is another gifted kid, long. Question his physicality a little bit. Question the amount of drops he had this year at Tennessee. I think he's a developmental guy, which is, I think, will knock him out of any kind of first-round consideration, at least for me. But I think he's probably a solid second-round guy.
But, and the Tennessee receiver, Justin Hunter, we talked about earlier. But Tyler Bray is interesting. A lot of people compare him to Jay Cutler, the Bears quarterback, for many of the same reasons. Big, strong arm, can just fling it down the field, and a little bit slow, not the most mobile quarterback. And I think there's some concern about Tyler Bray and his application to the game, and maybe that's some of the comparisons to Jay Cutler as well. Interesting, strong arm. I mean, I'm thinking second, third round. I'm not sure if the Bills are interested or not. As Mayock pointed out, Bray was not invited to the combine as a regular quarterback. He was a combine arm, basically, a guy that they brought in just to, to throw to the other guys. But interesting. What about the quarterbacks overall in the combine in the first round this year? Mike Mayock talked about that.
I think the over-unders, too, on the quarterbacks in the first round. I think Smith will be there somewhere. And I think when the – and, you know, we're all off Barkley right now because he kind of disappeared this week. But I think when it's all said and done and people go back and watch his junior tape and put him up on the board and see what kind of football mind he has, I think he'll end up somewhere in the first round. And if history tells us anything lately, it's that somebody else is going to rise. And there's at least three teams in the top 10 that we all know about that need a quarterback desperately, with Kansas City, Arizona, and Buffalo. So I think there'll be some activity between 20 and 32 and some of those teams trying to get back up into the first round. And I don't know who the third guy is. Maybe there won't be. But I think right now it's kind of a horse race. Some guys are going to like Glennon because of the big arm. Tyler Wilson, if you watch junior tape, it's good. Landry Jones, if you watch junior tape, it's good. Glennon's got the big arm. So I don't know who the guy is going to be. Last year I knew it was going to be Tannehill, and I told people that he was going to be a top 10 pick right around this time last year because I could see he was going to be a riser. This year I'm not sure who it is. There's just too much inconsistent tape amongst the, quote, top guys. Ryan Nassib is another guy that I think coaches are going to like a lot. Reminds me a little bit of Andy Dalton 2 years ago with the way he approaches the game, and the kid from Michigan State that Washington took last year. Cousins, thank you. I apologize. Those are two kids that kind of rose as coaches got involved with the evaluation process.
An overview of the quarterbacks from Mike Mayock. And if you listen to what he's saying, Geno Smith and Matt Barkley will be the first two to go, and maybe somebody gets into the first round as well as, you know, somebody trades into it. Maybe the Bills trade into it to get a Tyler Wilson. I don't know if Landry Jones is the answer. Ryan Nassib, perhaps. Oh, there's a lot to talk about when you talk about these quarterbacks in the draft, and we're going to continue to do it tomorrow night and throughout the week as we return from the Combine. Chock full of Combine and draft information. We'll share more of that with you tomorrow night. We're on the podcast tomorrow night because of Sabres hockey, and then back on the air with live radio on Wednesday night. Hope you can join us. The podcast, of course, available at buffalobills.com/John Murphy Show. At just about 7 o'clock tomorrow night. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Thanks to Pete Cargis, our engineer, our producer, the maestro, Russ Burton, the Bills director of broadcasting, Jeff Matthews, production assistants from Matt Height. Back tomorrow with the podcast at BuffaloBills.com, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, tonight live from One Bills Drive on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.